Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In 2011, Shane O'Farrell was knocked off his bicycle by a driver who should have been in jail at the time. His mother, Lucia, spoke with News Talk earlier this year.
It was an absolute joy to know. He was every parent's ideal child, lovable, kind, good-natured. His sisters adored him. He was happy-go-lucky, average young man that enjoyed life, adored rugby, was his passion. He studied in UCD and then in Trinity, and just when he finished in Trinity, his master's in law, he was killed in a hit and run by an Eastern European Lithuanian heroin addict who was out on bail and in breach of bail from numerous district and circuit courts. He was on a suspended sentence both sides of the border. There were warrants out for his arrest, numerous warrants. He was on a peace bond. He had received two prison sentences which he hadn't served.
Well, as part of his public apology to Shane's family in May of this year, the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, requested Senior Counsel Lorcan Staines to do a full review of the bail laws in Ireland. That review has been completed, and Lorcan Staines joins me now in studio to talk about all 15 of his recommendations. Lorcan, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Pat.
Now, let's talk about them individually, but first of all, collectively, you think they'll make a huge difference?
I do, Pat. So just to go back to the start, really, I came into the process with an open mind. I'm a criminal lawyer, and oftentimes people within a system look at a system from their own perspective. So I tried to go in with an open mind and take views from everybody within the system. And my first question was, well, do we need a constitutional amendment? Do we need to change something in relation to how bail is invoked in a fundamental way?
Because the Taoiseach had said that there were constitutional difficulties about not giving people bail, for example.
Yes, exactly. So if we have a constitutionally enshrined presumption of innocence, it flows from that there must be a presumption in favour of bail. And therefore, bail can only be withheld where there's a likelihood of a person not appearing, absconding, interfering with witnesses, or committing serious offences.
So these already are laid down in law. So why are people so unhappy? Is it because various people didn't kind of do their jobs at the time and these anomalies arose?
Yes. So effectively, you had a system that very much relied on the individual Garda. So if you had an excellent, very careful and hard-working Garda focusing on an individual, that would be fine. But if you had a Garda who's maybe overworked or perhaps someone was out long-term sick and so on, there could be an absence of sharing of information.
You know, offences in one division and the individual is actually living and applying his criminality in another division.
Exactly. And so there was a real inconsistency there, which is obviously anathema to public confidence of the system. If you have that inconsistency, you simply can't have it. So while very significant efforts have been made in the 14 years since the death of Shane O'Farrell, in my view, it has been too slow. And effectively, what I've suggested is rather than a constitutional amendment, because none of the parties within the system want that constitutional amendment, but I've suggested these 15 changes, which individually may not be enormous, but together would make an enormous difference.
The constitutional amendment would allow, literally, lock them up, throw away the key, and let's see how long it takes to get to court.
Exactly. And there's two main problems with that. If we put aside the fundamental view, I think, of people that locking up people who ultimately may be found not guilty is not an appropriate thing to do. But second of all, we have more than 300,000 cases before the court every year. We have less than 5,000 prison places. And even with mattresses that we're using at the moment, we're less
just
than 6,000.
Just doesn't work. Mathematically, does not work. Now, what about, and this may not be part of your remit, but systems. For example, If someone is on bail from the Southern Division, for example, and he does something in another division, how easily can a Garda know?
Well, they do have access to what's called Pulse. And Pulse is the system that was set up long ago and has been updated. And they should be able to share information without any difficulty.
Every offence should be in Pulse.
They should be. But at the time of the death of Shane O'Farrell, you were very much reliant on the individual member uploading the information. And as you know, from any business or any institution, some people upload information very well, some people don't. Now it has changed in the district court, wherein a court registrars upload to a system that is shared between the court services and Gardaí Síochána, but that at the moment is only for the district court, and that should be improved. I've indicated that in my
report. So that one of your recommendations is that there should be investment in information sharing systems between the courts and the Gardaí.
Correct.
And that should be comprehensive.
Absolutely.
And in a few minutes' time, I'll have the Minister for Health in here. We'll be talking about the digital health passport.
Yes.
Same kind of thing. Every individual. And how you identify them. I mean, if someone is not working here, for example, they won't necessarily have a PRS number, PSI number.
Yes, and you do have difficulty with people giving different names.
Yeah.
Maybe you might have an inputting problem where they've been inputted under different identities, maybe through no fault of their own, and suddenly you only got half the convictions when you should have the full picture. So there's all those problems. What I'm talking about here is sharing between the court service and Gardaí Síochána, but arguably, and this would be a matter, I suppose, for civil liberties, but arguably, all aspects of the system should be able to talk to one another. Revenue, social welfare, probation and welfare services, Gardaí, court services, everybody should be able to share, but there's issues in
regards. I mean, at the moment we know that people who have lost their licence because they have so many points that they don't hand, most of them don't hand in their licence.
Yes, I've heard that on your show many times.
An example of
it. Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual bail recommendations that you come up with.
So, well, I suppose to look at them in individual, some of them are quite technical and then some of them, I suppose, are more easily digestible in a short period of time. So, for example, one of the recommendations is providing the Gardaí with the power.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Arrest where they know someone's in breach of the bail conditions or reasonably suspect they're in breach of the bail.
They don't have that.
They don't have that at the moment. And for example, if you have an individual, say, up on a fraud case and he's spotted in Dublin Airport and he's on his way to Venezuela, the Gardaí actually have no power to arrest him to stop him getting on that
plane. Even though they know he's got the boarding card or whatever.
Exactly.
He's got it on his phone now.
Exactly. And that isn't even that isn't even theoretical. I had a superintendent speak to me in relation to where that actually happened. And thankfully, the individual missed his flight, but he would have been able to fly without the Gardaí stopping him.
Okay,
so I suggest that should be changed.
That's something that we all would have assumed the Gardaí already had, and they don't.
We would have assumed that what they can do is they can go to the courts, swear a sworn information, get a warrant, and then arrest the person. But the problem with that is it's cumbersome. He's gone. Or say there's somebody in Temple Bar where the guard is concerned, that individual's up to trouble. He shouldn't be in Temple Bar. His bail conditions have prohibited him being there. The guard, he can't arrest him and have to go to the courts to get a warrant.
Now, things that exist in other jurisdictions we don't seem to use here, like electronic tagging.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
So that was, we've actually passed legislation, would you believe, in 2007 for electronic tagging. It was never commenced. And what I've said in my report is that legislation, when it was drafted in 2007, the world was quite different in terms of data, protection of data, access to data and so forth. So for me, that legislation is actually slightly simplistic and should be maybe made more robust before it's brought in. I do know the government intend to bring in electric tagging or electronic tagging, which, you know, is potentially a good option. But questions over will a suspect or will an individual on bail be warned that the data could be used against them in a separate prosecution? That's an interesting question. And if not, why not? So
if the person is not supposed to be, let's take domestic violence, for example, and they're not supposed to be within 50 meters of the person that they've been persecuting, and the tag says they are.
Yes, that's a good example.
Another prosecution.
A good example. But also, Pat, you will often hear about an individual being on bail committing a very serious offence.
Yeah.
Sometimes the offence they're on bail for is actually a very minor offence. So there was no real opportunity for the judge to see that risk. But strange things can happen. And say, for example, an individual with a tag is suspected in relation to a murder. And the data is very important for that prosecution. Can the Gardaí use it? And if not, why not? And if the Gardaí can use it, should the individual be warned, this information can be used against you? And if that's the case, would that disincentivise the individual to commit the crime in the first place? They're interesting questions.
Interesting questions. Now, the idea of, given we don't have the prison spaces, but you want to keep someone off the streets.
Yes.
The idea of house arrest.
Yes. So this, if you look at the recommendations, some of them, they're potentially expensive. And you're into a political decision then about where are you allocating your resources, what's more important, health, education, crime, so forth. This one, in fact, is cost neutral or arguably even could save the state money, because at the moment, the curfew that you can impose is 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's what the legislation allows. I'm suggesting it should be 24-hour and only in circumstances where a judge has already determined the individual should not be on bail.
And I suppose someone is a serial shoplifter. I mean, the shops aren't open at the hours of the curfew.
Yes. I think it's more problematic for shoplifting. And I know shoplifting is an enormous problem. I'm sure you have retailers who will be texting you in about that. I would envisage it more for serious offences rather than for minor offences, because you might have actual individuals then on relatively minor charges kept under house arrest potentially for a long period of time. And there's a question mark over the proportionality of that. But I do think it's a possibility for people that don't pose enormous risk, but the judge would be of the view that they shouldn't be on bail at all.
The idea of proceeding with a case in the absence of the perpetrator.
Yes, we can do that at the moment, Pat, but it's not probably used as much as it could be. And the logic for that, again, it's about saving costs and resources. So you can have cases where an individual's up in a relatively minor offence, comes before the court, goes through a bail application, has legal aid assigned, has a couple of appearances, and you've got witnesses in court, maybe for a shoplifting. You've got the retailers who put a member of their staff in there. The CCTV footage, individual doesn't appear. A warrant is issued. Gardaí go find the individual, bring them back before the court. It all goes on again. There's an argument that in those cases, the judge should simply proceed in the absence of the accused person and impose whatever sanction is imposed if they're found guilty, which they may not be. And then thereafter, the individual can either appeal the matter to the circuit court if they want or seek to have the conviction set aside.
Does it happen in terms of driving offences at the moment?
It does happen in driving offences, but that's because some driving offences, really the only prospect is a fine, particularly if you have no previous convictions. But the question is whether that should be used more often to save resources and get Gardaí on the street, basically.
Now, you want to widen the kind of bail conditions that might be employed.
Yes. So that comes, I suppose, number two, which is the adult bail supervision scheme. They really should be read together, because we have an excellent juvenile supervision scheme that's relatively new. A group called Extern and did a fantastic job in relation to it. And that's through the University of Limerick, if I'm not mistaken. But effectively what they do is they put a multidisciplinary team together to monitor certain children who are high risk. So, for example, you'll have a probation and welfare services officer. You'll have a Garda to ensure that they're compliant with the bail conditions. You may have someone from TUSLA, for example. You may have someone to do with housing. Now, I've suggested you do that for adults. In the same circumstance, you put that multidisciplinary team in place, because many of the individuals who are recidivists are those with alcohol problems, homelessness problems, drug addiction problems. So you need to deal with it in both ways, so to speak. It's not just the stick, it has to be the carrot as well.
Now, one of the things is prosecution of offences to be removed from the Gardaí. You want professional prosecutors to do it instead of Gardaí.
Yes, and in fact, the O'Farrell family provided me with the submission, which was really excellent submission, really well researched and very helpful to me. But one of the things they pointed out was that the individual whose car killed their
Son Shane.
Son Shane That individual went to Northern Ireland on a couple of occasions. And when he was in Northern Ireland, he'd been prosecuted by lawyers, not by police officers. And in fact, in both cases, he was brought into court the day after the offence, dealt with immediately, and the case effectively concluded in one day. Whereas in Ireland, in the South, we're dealing with scenarios where minor offences are prosecuted by Gardaí. It's not their skill set, in my opinion. Some of them are very good, some of them are not so good, and we should have a situation where lawyers are prosecuting all cases for consistency to ensure there's something like this.
Now, you're also looking at extra powers for Gardaí in the Gardaí station.
Yes, and that actually, again, is about a resources issue. So, for example, if a warrant is issued because someone has failed to appear, but it's for a relatively minor matter, and maybe it's the only time they ever did it, and maybe they have a decent excuse, the Gardaí might want to give the individual bail, but it's out of hours or it's the weekend. The Gardaí have to call in a registrar, a court, a judge, a Gardaí, maybe a prison escorts and so on and so forth, a lot of money, and then the whole hearing's over in 2 minutes, the person's released on bail. It's a waste of money, and the Gardaí and the judiciary are asking for that. The other example is, if Gardaí decide to give you bail in the Garda station, they can't attach any conditions. So if they want you to sign on or want you to stay at a temple bar or want you to abide by a curfew, they can't actually do that. They have to go to the court.
So they need those powers.
They
recommend classifying domestic violence as a serious offence,
yes,
and other offences to be added to the Bail Act: forced marriage, coercive control, intimidation of witnesses and jurors, breach of the sex offenders registry. All make perfect sense.
Yes.
One last thing, and there are so many more we could speak for the whole day about all of these recommendations. The question of cash.
Yes.
I mean, the millionaire who gets bail, 100 grand, no problem.
Yes.
The poor person who gets bail, 500 euro, a real problem.
Yes, that's it. And from the court services and the prison service perspective, there's a huge amount of waste of resources there, because if you have 500 euro fixed on you for bail, you get taken off into the prison. There's a prison van that has to bring you up to the prison. You're then processed. Your clothes are taken off. Your property's taken off. You're photographed. All that. You're meeting all these people along the system. And then maybe someone will call up to give you the money, and then you're released again, which the prison services and the court service say is a waste of money. On the flip side, the judges and a lot of the barristers and solicitors feel that by fixing cash on somebody, it actually does incentivize them to cooperate with their bail, because if it's that 300 euro that you borrowed from your mother or your sister or your brother,
that's gone if you breach.
That's gone if you breach, and that is the type of thing that incentivizes a person to cooperate.
You want more consistency across the system by judges and so on, and that would be very welcome, I think.
Yes.
Finally, what happens now? The minister has your recommendations.
Yes, I understand from a press release issued by the minister yesterday that he intends to send all matters to his department for the implementation of all the recommendations to consider them. And it should be said that in relation to many of them, they're already some way down the road or a long way down the road in relation to many of them. Some they're only starting out.
Senior Counsel Lorcan Staines, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.